This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Morning. Good morning. And welcome to Freedom Works on a Wednesday. I am Paul Molloy. This is Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for being with us. We have a lot going on this morning. In a few minutes, Dr. Joel Zinberg is going to be with us. He is from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we are going to talk about Anthony Fauci and about all that flip-flopping he did in his so-called management of the COVID crisis. So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And early this morning, a House committee votes to advance articles of impeachment against Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. That means it looks like next week the full Congress will take up a vote on whether or not to throw the guy out. So we'll talk about that as well. And a little closer to home here, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis would like Ilhan Omar, you know who she is? He wants her not only expelled from Congress, he wants her expelled from the country. So we're going to tell you all about it. Stay tuned for that. And, hey, we have a very interesting top 10. The top 10 greatest cowboy movies. All right, not the actors. The characters. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Men, you want to get the best haircut in Tampa Bay? I have found the place, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. It's in the Overcash Plaza just north of State Road 580. Great haircut, and hey, a great price, and a great environment. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service. If it has anything to do with a tree, you want one, you want to get rid of one, stump grinding, enhancement of the trees you got, whatever, call Arbor Life. You'll get great service. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So this just, as I say, hot off the wire this morning. Here we are, the last day of January. Hiring by American companies slowed more than they expected in this January month. A possible sign that the labor market is finally slowing in the face of those higher interest rates we have been besieged with. This is according to ADP. They come out with this thing every month. Apparently, companies added about 107,000 jobs in January. But they were hopeful of getting 145,000. So they missed that by about 38,000 jobs. The weaker-than-expected report comes in the wake of a very strong Federal Reserve interest tightening campaign, which has hiked rates to the highest levels we've seen, by the way. Did you know this? The highest rates in 23 years? That's why if you're paying a mortgage, you see that every year your mortgage rate's been going up a little bit. So there you go. Annual pay rose about 5.2% in January. For workers who were quitting and switching jobs, they upped their wages about 7%. So they've improved over the past 6 months, but at the same time, inflation's been going up. In the long run, ever since Biden's been in, I don't care how you look at it, you're paying more for everything. That's just about what's going on. Now, home prices, they hit a new record high in November. These facts and figures coming in now 2 months later, but home prices rose for the 10th consecutive month in November. But the housing inventory was painfully low. Not a lot of houses on the market right now. So there you go. All that's going on right now. In the meantime, early this morning, the House Homeland Committee forwarded a resolution to kick Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas from his job. They have moved articles of impeachment to the Congress. It was a party-line vote. All of the Republicans on the Homeland Security Committee voted aye, and all the Democrats voted nay, but the Republicans had the majority, so it moves forward to the full Congress. So this meeting stretched past midnight this morning. And this will be the second impeachment of a cabinet member in history. Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, says he will swiftly bring this resolution to the floor for a vote in Congress. Now, it's not going to get, he's not going to be convicted in the Senate because there are more Democrats in the Senate than there are Republicans, and it'll be on a party line vote. But it looks like he will be impeached. That means that he will be indicted, is really what the word impeached means. And then the full Senate is the jury, and they decide whether or not he gets convicted. So that's how all of that works.
I think it's a waste of time.
It's probably a waste of time.
He's just carrying out what Biden wants.
He is.
You know?
He is. He just sits up there in the front. But, you know, going around and telling everybody there's no crisis when there's a crisis, he's feckless, feckless. He doesn't do his job.
The press secretary, John Paul Jones, tells you the same thing.
I know. Of course, they're all lying.
Have you ever heard Biden come out and say, Mayorkas is not doing his job? No.
He hardly comes out and says anything. But you're right,
well,
he doesn't.
Except for his ice cream. But
yeah. And he finally admitted it was a crisis. Did you know that? He finally admitted that the border is not secure. This is Joe Biden. Members of the Biden administration, including, by the way, our buddy Karine Jean-Paul Jones, says that, and also the Vice President, Kamala Harris, are now claiming that the border is in crisis. However, last week, Biden... Well, let's put it this way. Members of the Biden administration have been claiming for the past 3 years that we don't have a crisis. But last week, Biden admitted that he does not believe the border is secure when pressed by reporters. When asked, is it secure? His answer was, no, it's not. He says, I have not believed it for the past 10 years, and I've said it for the last 10 years. Give me the money. He doesn't need no stinking money. He doesn't need anything. He can clear up this problem right away with a stroke of a pen, just like he screwed it up with the stroke of a pen with his executive orders that turned around in the opposite direction all of the things that Donald Trump had put in place and kept our border quite secure.
You see what some residents of New York are doing in certain neighborhoods?
Are they going after the illegals?
The buses that are coming up, They're blocking the buses, not letting them off the bus.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
See, there you go. And now all these Democratic mayors in these big cities, you know, all of a sudden these sanctuary cities ain't so sanctuary anymore, you know. They never think it through, you know. Of course, they don't expect to have anybody show up and really give them a hard time. Now they're getting it. Well, that's the way it goes. We're going to take our break, and we're going to change horses. Dr. Joel Zinberg will join us. We're going to talk about the flip-flop management of the COVID crisis by Anthony Fauci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back, it's Wednesday. It's a little coolish, but sunny here in Tampa Bay. We'll take it. We'll take it. Hey, we're delighted to have back an old buddy of ours, Dr. Joel Zinberg. He is a senior fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. He's a former Trump advisor, and he's written a piece in National Review, published about 5 days ago, about when science is not science. He's taken a look at the I guess we could say the management style or philosophy of Anthony Fauci. Joel, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. When science is not science, and in your article you talk a little bit about Dr. Anthony Fauci, who famously declared, "Attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science." Remember that famous line?
Yes, I do.
He doesn't seem to hold. You know, we treated him, I think, with some kind, with a bit of reverence. I even think Donald Trump did so when Fauci was running our national health policies. But maybe as we take a look back, things weren't quite what they seemed.
Well, yes, and it was sort of slowly becoming apparent, and now because of some recent congressional testimony by Dr. Fauci and also by Dr. Francis Collins, who was the director of the National Institutes of Health, the NIH, it's become pretty clear that a lot of the advice they were doling out during the pandemic had no scientific basis. Things like they both admitted that coming up with this 6 foot distance for social distancing was evidence-free. There was no study that suggested that was the case. They just pulled it out of the air, and they have no idea how it came to be. On things like masks, it's pretty clear they were making stuff up. Fauci was first proposing masks shouldn't be used, then a month later they should be used, and he even went as far as saying things like cloth masks are as good as surgical N95 masks. Again, no study had ever really documented that generalized masking works, but that didn't stop Fauci or even the CDC from climbing on board and proposing these mandates, and these mandates that persisted well after we knew they were no longer necessary. Same thing's true of the vaccine mandates. Fauci was pushing them, the CDC was pushing them, even for kids, when it was clear pretty early on in the pandemic that the kids who are otherwise healthy were at little or no risk from COVID. They were pushing mandates for them, and those kids ended up being, many of them ended up being kept out of school, compounding the problems of school closures from the lockdown measures that Fauci and Collins were pushing.
Yes, indeed. Now, I guess we have to say that when this this whole COVID-19 hit us, we were all kind of running around a little bit ignorant of how to deal with it, right? I mean, do we have to say that we can't be too much, do we need to say that we have to be careful about condemning people at that time when we were still learning more about the virus? What do you think about that?
Well, I think you're correct that, you know, at the outset, no one was sure. So, for example, very early on, President Trump declared the 15 days to stop the spread, and they were imposing travel bans. And that was fine at the outset. No one really knew what we were dealing with. No one knew what was going to be effective. But things began to become a little clearer relatively quickly. And the real problem is that guys like Fauci and Collins were unwilling to share with the public that there was uncertainty and that, you know, we're proposing what we think is the best thing possible. We're not sure. It's subject to change. They insisted that they had to be obeyed. As you said, Dr. Fauci was Dr. Science. He was science personified. Yeah. And if anyone dared to question him, they were going to be slapped down. And there's, you know, I outlined in my article all the measures that he and Dr. Collins took to slap down and suppress any dissenting viewpoint. So, for example, the Great Barrington Declaration was published in October 2020, and they said, look, these lockdowns are harmful economically, they're harmful educationally, we shouldn't have generalized lockdowns, we should focus on protecting those who are most vulnerable, the elderly and people with multiple diseases.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, the emails that we're seeing now indicate that Collins and Fauci conspired to suppress that point of view and to make the lives miserable for the authors of that declaration, all of whom were very well-known and respected epidemiologists.
Yeah, I think that's exactly where we can condemn Fauci. Apparently, he knew more than he was telling us, and he was even contradicting what he knew. And then there, as you know, Rand Paul in particular was going after him, accusing him of almost being a conspirator regarding the situation with the Wuhan laboratory, and that Fauci knew that that COVID virus emanated from the lab, not from some wet market somewhere. But Fauci kept ducking that one.
Yeah, well, Fauci, you know, again, this was something he went out of his way to suppress. So very early in the pandemic, at January 31st, there were emails from prominent neurologists to Fauci saying, hey, we looked at the structure of this virus, and it sure looks like it was engineered to us, that it didn't arise in a natural fashion, that it was made in a lab and possibly leaked. And the next day, Fauci and Collins were on a phone call with 11 virologists, and presto, within a few days, minds had been changed, and they had a draft of an article that was published online about 2 weeks later, and then eventually a month later in the journal Nature Medicine, that became very influential in terms of combating or refuting the lab leak theory. Except that these were the same guys who said to Fauci, hey, this sure looks engineered, and they didn't cite anything new to show that it wasn't engineered.
Indeed. We're talking with Dr. Joel Zinberg. He is a senior fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute, where he focuses on health issues. He's a former advisor to Donald Trump. He's written a piece in the National Review, When Science Is Not Science, and he's taking Dr. Anthony Fauci to task, as he well should. He well should. Has Fauci, Joel, has Fauci ever admitted that he now thinks that virus emanated from the Wuhan lab?
No, he has never admitted that. The most he's admitted is that now he says, well, I never said it didn't. It's always been a possibility. And same thing Collins in his congressional testimony has admitted. Yeah, it was a possibility. But these were the guys going out of their way to solicit and publish this letter I just referred to.
Yes.
That would refute the theory. And the problem, of course, is that NIH was funding research at that Wuhan laboratory. Now, Fauci quibbles about whether or not this truly qualified as gain-of-function research under these relatively new guidelines that NIH has. But the fact of the matter is, they funded research back in, that resulted in a publication in 2015 between the Wuhan lab and the America's foremost gain-of-function research person, Dr. Barrett. And they also funded research in 2018 and 19. And here's the really scary thing. The Echo Health, which was the conduit through which NIH was funding this stuff at the Wuhan lab, applied to the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, back in 2018 to fund research that would have put this, what's called the furin cleavage site, into a coronavirus. Now, DARPA turned down that funding, but that's exactly, that furin cleavage site is what's so distinctive about the SARS-CoV-2 virus.
Well, that's
that
a scary thing.
So it's, you know, even if DARPA didn't fund it, how do we know that NIH money didn't find its way to helping fund that, or that even if it wasn't NIH money, that the Wuhan lab was involved? Sure, there are an awful lot of things that make it seem like the Wuhan lab was involved, and I think Fauci and Collins were very anxious to disassociate themselves from that laboratory.
Yeah, I don't think so.
We now have an email from February 2020, though, where Fauci says they're conducting gain-of-function research at the laboratory there. So his later denials really don't hold much water.
Yeah, and, you know, he was protecting the lab. And by protecting the lab,
he was also protecting himself.
That's what I'm saying.
And NIH colleagues.
That's what I'm saying. He's protecting the lab to protect himself. I mean, I remember Rand Paul talking about the whole gain-of-function situation right to his face. And he would keep denying and ducking any responsibility for it. And now we can look back on that and see that that's exactly what he was doing. He was ducking. He wasn't right. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, Joel, what do you think the chances were that it really did come from the lab?
I was going to look, we're never going to know 100% because the Chinese have destroyed various archives. They've limited access to other things. We're never going to know on a 10 out of 10, but I'd say we're somewhere about 8, 9.
Yeah.
This furin cleavage site is there. That doesn't occur in any other related coronavirus. We know the laboratory there was in Wuhan, where the virus originated. It's the leading research center in the world for bats and coronaviruses. We know it was engaged in gain-of-function research. We know it had subpar safety controls, so much so that U.S. State Department investigators reported on this, and NIH ended up limiting and withdrawing funding for other types of research projects. We've never found, unlike other pandemics, we've never found the supposed animal vector, the connection between the bats and humans. We've never even found a bat population that has this the virus in it. So all these things sort of suggest that this really was an engineered virus.
Yeah, I think a 9.5 out of 10, as far as I'm concerned, when I take a look at all of it. So what have we learned? What do we do? I guess, what should we do? First of all, there's nothing we can do about Fauci at this point, right? Other than just completely, you know, just tell the truth about what he was doing. But, I mean, is there anything we should do other than that? Is there something we now know? Have we learned anything from all of this?
Well, look, both Collins and Fauci have claimed they were engaged in what they called the public health mindset. All they cared about was saving lives, and saving an individual life had had infinite value. They weren't concerned with anything else. Now, that's the sort of polite way of suggesting what they were involved in. But the fact is, as a result of that mindset, or a result of narcissism, or as a result to cover things up, they actively suppressed other points of view, and they would not listen to the other people in the administration who were suggesting, hey, you know, if you pursue these lockdowns forever, you're going to have a recession, or maybe worse. You're going to have all kinds of economic fallout. You may increase the death rate from other diseases. You're going to have terrible educational outcomes that will scar kids for the rest of their life. And we know that that is exactly what happened. And yeah. We know, by the way, that the kids who were hurt the most were the kids who were disadvantaged, the kids who were most vulnerable to having their education interrupted.
No, you're absolutely right. I guess there's nothing we can do. We can't go after Fauci and throw him in the clink for doing anything, right? We just have to...
Well, what we can do can is we? Make sure that going forward, when we have one of these episodes, that policymakers are not sidelined, that they don't become beholden to these popular public health figures, guys like Fauci, who everyone admired, and they were creating bobblehead dolls and banners and T-shirts and things. He was a popular guy, in part because he was charismatic, in part because people hated Trump, and they wanted anyone who said something different from Trump was a popular figure. So we have to make sure that in the future, public policymakers are making decisions and they're considering all the factors, not just the public health mindset, but all the factors involved. Because as we know, that public health mindset was destructive, and it didn't even really improve public health. You know, a study that I did called Freedom Wins with my colleagues at the Paragon Health Institute, where I'm one of the initiative directors, found that the lockdown measures did not improve health, but they did destroy the economic and educational outcomes in the states that persisted with lockdowns. Yeah. Whereas the states that lifted them, places like Florida and Texas and Georgia, they did much better.
Indeed, you're right about that. Dr. Joel Zinberg, we thank you for keeping up the good fight on, bringing the reality of this entire horrible situation to public view. Thank you so much, and I look forward to our next chat.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. All right, Dr. Joel Zinberg. All right.
You know, I'd want to take it a step further than that, too. I think that Fauci had a set of rules for the public to follow, and I wonder at some point, did he maybe say, to some of the inner workings of our own government, maybe this thing isn't as bad as we think. Because you got to remember, we had officials having birthday parties when the country was locked down, and we told
we
couldn't
did.
Have any. We had Nancy Pelosi
getting
her hair done when all the other hairdressers were closed. I couldn't get my hair cut for 3 weeks or whatever.
There you go.
You know, you had all that going on, and nothing, nothing ever came of it. And you even had Fauci himself at the All-Star game, the baseball All-Star game, not wearing a mask.
Yes. Rules for thee, but not for me.
Yeah.
You're right about that. All right, I'm going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, he's going after one of the squad members. Not only wants her expelled from Congress, he wants her expelled from the good old USA.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's Wednesday. We're in the middle of the week. You're listening to Freedom Works. You're very bright for listening to it. By the way, Ed, there's two squad members. They're actually all screwed up right now. We got this. We're watching the TV screen. They're talking about a squad member that hired her husband to protect her.
Corey Bush.
Corey Bush. Yeah. And then we've got Ilhan Omar. Uh-huh. That's another one, right? And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday called for Omar to be expelled from Congress. Not only that, he wants to have her citizenship revoked, and he wants her deported. Why? Well, a speech that she gave, which critics allege Omar put the interests of Somalia over Americans. It was on January 27th, 4 days ago, which went viral this week. It appears to show Omar assuring her constituents that she would use her influence to ensure the breakaway Republic of Somaliland would not enter a sea access deal with Ethiopia. A translation of the clip that Ron DeSantis reshared shows Omar telling the crowd, "The U.S. is a country where one of your daughters is in Congress to represent your interest. And for as long as I am in the U.S. Congress, Somalia will never be in danger. Its waters will not be stolen by Ethiopia or others. Sleep in comfort, knowing I am here to protect the interests of Somalia from inside the U.S. system." Well, you can imagine what a lot of people thought about that. She's moved living in the United States, and she's supposed to be concerned about the interests of the United States, and she's apparently trying to represent some other country at the same time. It's a little scary, isn't it? We've got the master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi, joining us. Andrew, there is so much going on that, you know, we got a couple of squad members getting in all kinds of trouble. And then we got that situation with Biden. We're waiting for him to decide what to do about that attack that killed three U.S. military personnel over in the Mideast. What would you like?
Paul,
go ahead.
Paul, first of all, as far as Ilhan Omar goes, I'd be the first one to volunteer to carry her rear end out of the country.
I'd pack her bags for her.
That's right.
Very good of you.
That's right.
Yes.
No problem. I'd be more than happy to do it free of charge.
There you go.
As far as Biden, what's he going to do about the three military men? Two military men and one woman, they got killed.
Yeah,
you know what he's going to do? He's going to send $7 more billion to Iran and figure maybe they'll stop.
Yeah, that's a scary thing. By the way, it's two women and one man, but they were all asleep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was the other way.
No, that's okay. They were asleep. And a drone,
right.
A drone got through, and apparently, apparently we thought, we being the U.S. Security over there, thought that the drone that was getting through was our drone coming back.
Yeah, well, I could tell you that if Trump was in office, what is it, the Ayatollah there? Do they have to call him the Ayatollah yet? I don't know. What are they called? Is it an imam or whatever?
Yeah,
with the black?
Yeah, they got an Ayatollah Khamenei or something like that floating around.
That's right. Yeah, well, I could tell you this one. He would have been in the same place as Soleimani if Trump was president. Okay, enough is enough with this crap, Paul. Now the people in Texas, I don't know if you see it, they're starting to protect their own border.
Yes, they are.
They've got a bunch of truckers going there. The bikers are going there. They've had enough, and it's about time we stand up. As a matter of fact, I believe there should be 10 million of us marching on Washington. And did you see Aunt Pelosi the other day? Or Nancy Pelosi?
Aunt Nancy?
The other day? Yeah, she was getting into her car and there was some protest there. She told them to go back to the country where they came from.
Oh, yeah, she wants them to go to China.
She wants them to go to China. That's a good idea. But you know what? China's smarter than us. They won't let them there.
I know. They have they have the Great Wall, you know. They've always had the Great Wall. It's been there for a long time.
Did she say go back to your country?
Yes.
Yeah, she did. Something to that effect.
How does she get away with saying things like that?
Because the media protects her. That's how she gets away with it.
She gets Nancy Pelosi. That's why.
She's the same idiot that said that we have to pass the health bill before we read it. Remember
that? That is racist.
But look, she's 80. What is she, 84 years old now, 85?
Something like that. She's in her 80s.
And what is she even doing being in our Congress? Okay?
Yep.
I told you, a pilot cannot fly an airplane past 65 years old, a commercial airline pilot, because they can't be responsible for 300 people on a plane, but yet they got these morons in their 80s and 90s running a country with 300 million people?
Why not? I know.
I don't understand it. Explain that to me, will you please?
We've got, if you think about it, all of our leaders in Washington are very old. Our president, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, all the leaders. All the leaders are up there, you know, wandering around. I think they've lost a lot of brain cells.
And I think what they need to do is buy one of them little square things, the square tables with the triangles and the circles and the blocks, and give them once a year. See if they come with the right block in the right hole,
Yeah,
that's true. See if, because I guarantee you half of them would fail.
It should be a public test. Everybody, you know, the cameras should be there.
And hopefully,
and they should be,
talking about the impeachment vote for Mayorkas is coming as early as next week.
That's correct.
They need to throw his rear end out and put him in a black plastic bag, too. Are you kidding me? Where did these people come from?
I know.
Ilhan Omar disgusts me, Paul. Yeah. When you're sitting there and you're in Congress and you're telling Somalia first, ooh, lady, you're getting $170,000 a year salary. Before you came here, you had nothing. You were living in a grass hut. And now you're saying Somalia first? Get away from me.
Yeah. Yeah, she left her homeland with her family near the start of the Somali Civil War back in 91.
Oh.
And, you know, I mean, you can understand that she would have feelings for her country. Of course she would.
Well, that's fine.
But
listen,
that doesn't mean that she's all of a sudden going to start dictating policy as a congressman in the United States. That's the crazy thing.
The only thing stranger about her comment was the people that put her in office all the time. They keep
That was a plant too, Ed, because Obama put, I forget, 50,000 Somalis or something in Minnesota in that district. That's how that was planned.
Yeah, they have a large percentage.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They have a large Muslim community there, don't they?
That's right. Obama planted them. And then you know what else? Look at the news this morning. The poor people in Colorado, they're crying because the immigrants there, the school doesn't have enough money to support them, and now there's too many of them coming. This is what you voted for, people. Colorado's a Democrat state, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been going Democrat, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah, you got what you deserved, and quit your moaning.
Yeah.
Go take care of them now. Give them your spare bedroom. Give them your spare change.
Well, I don't know if you saw it, but what's happening in Texas, but it's also happening around your brother up in New York.
That's right.
Neighborhoods where the buses are pulling up, the residents are coming out of their homes and blocking the doors on the buses and not letting them off the bus.
It's about time the American people start standing up and need to start growing some courage, okay?
You got to be careful because I saw one right here, right in Capone's dugout parking lot. There was a dump-off.
Really?
But there were four or five Clearwater police officers.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow.
Hey, what about the New York policeman that got mugged by the migrants the other day? Four of them got mugged. This one policeman in New York City, they arrested them, and they were out of jail in 2 minutes.
I tell you, this whole country is upside down right now. It's just totally upside down.
Let me tell you something. They thought they saw an insurrection on January 6th. Keep up what you're doing, brothers, and you are going to see a real insurrection. You're going to be hiding so far away from the Capitol, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. We're talking with the Master Barber. He's got his dander up right now. I don't blame him at all. I want to get back, Andrew, to what Biden should now do and how we should respond to those three U.S. soldiers that were killed
in that drone attack. Should we, if you had anything to do with, now you have to be careful, you don't want to start World War III, but it would seem to me that we, because we have an overwhelming superiority over Iran, that we could slap them down with a couple of things rather quick. What about taking out their, that is, where's that island where they got all that oil stored? We could take out that oil, could we not?
Take out their oil wells, take out their nuclear, where they're doing all their experiments, take out that, and then take out their Ayatollah. Take out the three of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe you're right about that.
And they'll be defenseless.
I still think Israel is not going to allow Iran to complete its nuclear capability, if you know what I mean.
That's right. Hey, and what about the UN giving $1.3 billion to help out the immigrants? They're giving them credit cards and everything to get to the United States. Okay? I can't believe that. Trump was right when he says, get rid of the UN, and here they are. Let's get that money and send them all to Europe.
Now, what is that story? The United Nations is funding
Nations, that's right. They are funding the immigrants get to this country. They put $1.3 billion aside, and you know what? We give them 20% of that money that they're giving back to these immigrants.
How are they getting that money to the immigrants? Are they sending it to different countries?
I don't know how they're getting it to them, mm-hmm. but they are funding them.
Wow.
Paul, the money's been coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
Let's be real. These people are coming in new clothes,
yes,
with
you're
cell
right
phones.
About that. Yeah.
They're getting train rides. Come on. Where's the money coming from?
Hell, they're dressed better than I am, which is not saying much, but I see them coming across the border. They got these wonderful backpacks.
Well, yeah.
Now they know where the money's
right
coming
off
from.
The rack. Yeah.
And they keep saying they're just here to work. Well, I don't see any lines for jobs.
No. That's crazy.
Enough is enough, believe me, guys.
You're right.
If we don't do something quick, this country's down the tubes.
Andrew, it's always a pleasure. I wish every American had your energy and had your patriotism, because this country could be turned around on a dime. I mean that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Give me about a week's time to run this country. I'll show you how quick it would change.
You and Donald Trump, right?
You got it, buddy.
One more thing. Press Secretary John Paul Jones, did you see what she said when she... She went on the morning. She called the three that were killed folks.
Yeah.
They were three fine folks.
Yeah. What unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, there is such incompetence up and down the administration. Kamala Harris, John Paul Jones, Biden himself, all of them. It just boggles the mind.
You put them all together, they got an IQ of 1.5.
Andrew, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so very much. I hope to be talking with you on Friday.
All right, guys. Be good.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, buddy. There he goes, the Master Barber. All right, going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to give you... You like cowboy movies? We're going to give you the greatest, top 10 greatest movie cowboy characters.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting heads here in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, man. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, So call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back to the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for listening to us on this Wednesday. By the way, we are here 3 days a week, you know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. Always glad when you can tune in. But if you're busy, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to any of our shows anytime you like. All you got to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, ourfreedomworks.com. Click on the podcast button. Ed's prepared all the shows. Most recent show will be at the front. You'll see who the guest is. You'll see what the topic is with the guest. And you'll see what our top 10 is. ourfreedomworks.com. All right. So, with all these other things going on, they are still interviewing people in the Hunter Biden scandal. Hunter Biden's business partner, Eric Schwerin, remember that name? He was sitting in front of a congressional panel. He told them yesterday that he did not have insight into any foreign payments that the Biden family may have received. And he said he is, quote, not aware, unquote, not aware of any role that Joe Biden had in Hunter Biden's business activities. Okay, he's the old, see no evil, hear no evil, I will speak no evil, because that's what my attorney told me to do. Now, Schwerin appeared behind closed doors for the transcribed interview. It's like the old, what was that movie? It was kind of funny. I hear nothing, I see nothing, I am nothing. In his opening statement, Schwerin told the committee that he, quote, performed a number of administrative and bookkeeping tasks for then Vice President Joe Biden related to his household finances. He did so between 2009 and 2017. He also said he helped Biden's accountants in their preparations of his taxes. Now, you can't tell me that this guy didn't know that Biden was getting money through his family from overseas. We all know it. If we know it, he knew it.
Evidently, he's good swearing God to it.
Yeah, very good. Hey, I know there's not a lot going on right now, Ed, because Super Bowl will be a week from this coming Sunday, not this Sunday. So we're in the between week.
Yeah.
But Taylor Swift, I want to ask you something about Taylor Swift. She's apparently in a romantic situation with one of the Kansas City players.
Yeah,
right?
Travis Kelce.
I just want to get your thought on it. I think she has every right to be there.
She does, and I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care. I don't want to see her. I don't care.
Yeah.
She wants to cheer for a boyfriend. I don't care. There's a lot of other people have boyfriends down on the field.
Well, you know, they're going to be showing her, you know, during the Super Bowl. It's great publicity for her, isn't it?
Oh, and it is for the NFL, too, and that's why they're sucking up to it, you know?
She should do the halftime show. She should go down there and do the halftime. All right. I guess that's about it on that. It's time for our top 10, I guess, Ed. I think we got a pretty good one. And I want to see if you have to listen, Ed, while you're on the drums. You got to listen. And I want to see if you will guess what the number one cowboy character might have been in the movies. That's right. That's right. And it's based on, and just the rules are this. It's not like I'll just tell you right now, it's not going to be Gene Autry or Roy Rogers or Hopalong Cass. It's not going to be some guy that made 400 movies.
Okay.
It's going to be like a particular movie, and this guy was iconic. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So here we go. Top 10 cowboys in the movies. And by the way, this comes from movieweb.com. All right. excuse me. Number 10. The character was Ethan Edwards. I bet you don't even know who that was.
No.
Ethan Edwards was John Wayne in a movie in 1956 called The Searchers.
Well, I figured John Wayne had to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, and he was. And he was good, and he could have gotten an Academy Award for that role. He plays a guy that is almost out of his head with anger, going after the people that did in his family.
Mm.
Okay, number 9. The character was Wyatt Earp. Mm-hmm. Now, Wyatt Earp's been played by a lot of different
actors. But this is from the movie Wyatt Earp. And guess who played him? 1994. It was Kevin Costner. Mm. All right? I remember seeing him with that handlebar mustache. He looked a little bit like Wyatt Earp in that movie. Number eight. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. We're going to combine them here on this one, all right? And they were certainly an iconic pair. As we know, Paul Newman and Robert Redford played those roles, and the movie was in 1969. Number seven. Hey, I loved this movie. I've seen it on TV many times. Shane. Have you ever heard of that one, Ed?
No.
Alan Ladd, 1953. Shane was this gunslinger that helps out a family that is being it's the old story about the ranchers trying to drive the homesteaders out. Okay, number six. Woody from Toy Story. I wouldn't have, I mean, he's a cartoon character.
It's a cartoon, yeah.
But I wouldn't have included him, but it was Tom Hanks playing a Woody in the voice of Woody, 1995. Mm-hmm. Okay, number five. Rooster Cogburn. Do you know who that was?
No.
That was John Wayne in the movie True Grit. Had an eye patch. You remember that movie?
Mm.
Did he win the Oscar? He won an Oscar for that role.
Mm.
Okay, 1968 was the year. Number four. I would not have known that this was a guy's name, but I remember the movie. The character was Harmonica. The movie was Once Upon a Time in the West. The actor was Charles Bronson, and the year was 1968. Okay, number three, The Django.
That is one of my favorite movies.
Okay, yeah. Is that
Jamie Foxx?
That's right. That's the one.
It's a bit gory.
Yes, it is.
But funny.
It's got some interesting funny lines in it. You're right. The movie was The Django Unchained, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Jamie Foxx played the character. It was 2012. Number two. Doc Holliday. Now, Doc Holliday was real. He was a friend of Wyatt Earp's. Did you know that?
No.
And in the movie Tombstone with Val Kilmer, do you remember that movie
yet? I tried to watch that a couple of times, and it just bored me.
It did? Yeah. Okay. Well, Val Kilmer played Doc Holliday, the troubled, drunken friend.
Mm-hmm.
He was a dentist, by the way, of Wyatt Earp, 1993 movie. All right. I'm going to ask Ed. Can you think of a very iconic character? I'll give you a huge hint.
Okay.
There were three movies that this character was in.
Huh.
One after another, and he really was iconic, a one of a kind.
You're talking about Will Smith, maybe?
Will Smith?
Will Smith, he did a western movie,
it's Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West.
Okay,
yeah.
that's a, you know what? That's a pretty good guess, but it ain't right. The Man with No Name. Clint Eastwood.
Oh yeah, Clint had to be in there somewhere.
Clint Eastwood's number one. He made three movies as The Man with No Name: A Fistful of Dollars in 1964, For a Few Dollars More in 1965, and then The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly in 1966.
I think Clint's, what, 90-something by now?
He is.
Somewhere
he's
in
about
his 90, 90s.
Seriously, yeah. He's about 92 yes. years old.
Yeah.
You know, he started in the 50s. I think it was Rowdy Gaines in a TV series or something. Mm. I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, there you go. We thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back Friday. In the meantime, remember this. Freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Buy on Capitol Hill this hour on the dangers to children who use their platforms. A disturbing new report says one of the companies decided against new safety measures. Correspondent Cammy McCormick has our top story.
The New York Times is reporting that internal documents show Meta, which owns Instagram and Facebook, rejected calls to improve safety, refusing to beef up staffing, among other things, though company executives have said they prioritize the well-being of young users. Meta's chief Mark Zuckerberg is expected to testify today. This will be his 8th appearance before Congress.
We've just heard from Vladimir Putin on the military transport plane that crashed near the Ukraine border last week. The Russian president claims it was hit with missiles fired from a U.S.-supplied Patriot air defense system. Moscow claims 65 Ukrainian soldiers on their way to a prisoner exchange were among the dead. Ukraine has neither confirmed nor denied it was involved in the crash. It's demanded proof of who was on board. Israel can